Hi, friends. Thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, and I'll be your host. I'm sorry for not getting any episodes up. We were having technical difficulties, but praise God. Hopefully, we'll be able to put this one up. God's been putting a lot of things on my heart right now, especially what a lot of the pastors have been talking about. You got to remember, my friends, there's true gospel of Jesus Christ, and then there's a false doctrine. So when you hear someone speaking, you got to make sure that it lines up to the Word of God. The other day, I was listening to someone who gave their testimony, and they started preaching about that a true Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian can have a demon. I can't be clear enough. The Bible's very clear in 2 Corinthians verse 6. I want you to look it up for yourself in the Bible. It says, what does Bala have anything to do with God? Basically, God and the devil are not the same. Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the devil are not the same. The devil likes to copycat God. He wants to be just like him, so he does the opposite. You know, God wants us as believers, and when I say believers, when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, repent of our sins, and turn away from the things that don't please the Lord, and we get into a good Bible-believing church that's Holy Ghost Spirit-filled. Holy Ghost, I want you to look in Acts chapter 2. I want you to read about the Holy Ghost, who he is, what he is, and what he can do for us. We got to keep in mind, my friends, we got to be very careful on who you're listening to, because there's a lot of false preachers out there. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. A lot of preachers are preaching about that there's all different kind of ways to get to heaven. No, my friends, there's only one way, and that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to accept him into your heart. You got to repent of your sins. You got to ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Get baptized, and then go to a good Bible-believing church. If that church is not preaching about repentance, to turn away from sin, to ask for forgiveness of your sin, if they're not preaching on casting out demons, if they're not preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ, if they're not preaching the true gospel and saying that homosexuality lifestyle is okay, you need to run far away from that church. Let me go back to the point that I was trying to get across. There was a pastor that I just happened to tune into, and I heard him telling his church that a true Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian can have a demon. And I had a conversation with that pastor, and I told him, no, sir, that's not biblically correct. A true Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian, one that is filled with the Holy Spirit, one that can speak in tongues, a person that got saved, turned away from sin, repented of their sin, they are forever sealed with the Spirit of God. And God is very clear that once you get saved, that he holds us in the palm of his hands, and that no one can snatch us out of God's hands. So this pastor was speaking that the Christian can have a demon. Now, keep in mind, my friends, anyone can just throw their name out there and say that they're a Christian. I'm a Christian, but then they're partying on Friday, getting drunk, getting high, doing drugs, going to the clubs, cursing, treating people badly. Anybody can say that. What I'm referring to is a true Holy Ghost believing Spirit-filled Christian cannot have a demon. A Christian can be oppressed but not possessed. There is a difference. Oppressed, it wasn't there down, discouraged. When the demon tries to detour them, get them isolated. A person that's in full possession, possessed by a demon, I'm not trying to offend people here, but I'm preaching true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That person was never truly converted. And I say converted is they never really truly were God's to begin with. Now, if you're listening to the podcast and you had a demon before and you weren't Holy Ghost Spirit filled and you never accepted Jesus Christ and you got delivered from those demons, praise God. You know, there's still hope. Praise God, there's still hope. But for that pastor to lead his church astray and say that a true Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian can have a demon, That's biblically incorrect. God's word says that light and darkness can't mix. That God will never allow a Holy Spirit-filled Christian to be indwelt with a demon. Now, some people may say, well, Kathy, what about, you know, we have our bodies, and then we have our mind, and we have our soul. You know, the Holy Spirit lives within our soul, so our flesh can still sin. Yes, our flesh can still sin, but God's not going to allow a demon to be inside our body if we're already sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So I want you to get a visualization of this. I want you to see someone repents of their sins. They ask God for forgiveness of everything that they did. In John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So let's say this person repents of their sin to the church. And they accept Jesus Christ at the church altar, and they get saved, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2. They're forever sealed with that Spirit on them. Nobody can come and take that seal off their forehead. Nobody can come and take that Holy Spirit speaking in tongues away from them. God is a God that is not irrevocable. In other words, he's not an Indian giver. He's not give you a spiritual gift and then go and take it right back away. That's not God. Man will do that. Women will do that. A child will do that, but not God. Because God is a God that cannot lie. So if God tells us specifically in his word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what common does Balaam have with God? He's basically telling us light and darkness can't mix. You can't have two entities. And by entity, I say the Holy Spirit and the demon living inside of you, possessed as a true believer of Jesus Christ. Now, someone can say they're a Christian. Someone can go to church and profess to be a Christian and be there in the pews and listening to the word of God, but they're just hearing it and it's going through one ear and out the other. And then they can get possessed by a demon, and then people are wondering, well, how did that person get possessed by a demon? Because they were never truly converted and never really accepted Jesus Christ to begin with. That's the difference. So my friends, I need you to be very careful about who and what you listen to. And after I spoke to that pastor read in this word in his own Bible, and he looked at it and he changed his sermon. He started telling people, "I'm sorry, I'd made a biblical error. A true Christian can be oppressed but not possessed." Now, that's not saying that the Christian isn't going to be tormented or attacked, because the devil can still attack you in your finances. They can still attack you in your marriage. They can attack you at your job. They can attack you within your family and just bring discouragement, despair, dishope. That's oppressed. But physically possession, that's saying that that person can no longer control their own body, control their own mind, because the demon's inside of them. Now, remember, my friends, when a person is possessed by a demon, and that demon cannot control that person anymore, that demon will leave and go get seven stronger demons to control the body, and they'll come back for that person. And then they'll be in the worst state to begin with. So when you go to cast out demons, you got to know what you're doing. You got to be a true believer of Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, Spirit filled in Acts chapter 2, because those demons come in ranks. Many people might not be aware of that. Those demons come in ranks. You can't just go and say, "Hey, demon, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out." You got to be Holy Ghost, Spirit filled, and know what you're doing, because then that demon's going to start talking about your sin in front of everybody in the whole church. Those demons are going to start talking about what you're doing wrong. Now, back to the pastor that was leading the church astray. All those other people, if you're not, if you're a Christian and you're still on baby milk, and I say baby milk, if you're still on milk and not on solid foods yet, by that, I don't mean like a literally baby drinking milk and then you're going to go to solid foods. I mean baby milk, I mean listening to the Word of God, reading the Bible. If you're still a new believer, you just accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you're barely learning the Word of God, you're not going to go know the difference. And you're going to think that that pastor that's speaking on that is biblically correct, when in fact he's not. So I just wanted to share that with you. Be very careful what you listen to. Even myself, line it up to the Word of God. Line it up to the Word of God. I'm not afraid because I'm speaking God's truth. If it doesn't line up to God's Word, you don't need to be listening to those pastors. There's a pastor over here in, I believe, in Texas. When we were listening to, and that pastor was saying that all people get into heaven. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, he's not teaching biblically correct. He's speaking false doctrine. He basically said all religions can get into heaven. And my friends, that's not true. Because there's only one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again so that we could have everlasting life. Not all religions are going to get you into heaven. Catholics believe in purgatory. They believe in an in-between. They think that if you die, you can pray the rosary, and then that person's soul, if they're in purgatory, can go to heaven. That's not what God teaches us. God teaches us that once you die, you're going to go to two places, either heaven or hell. And those two places are going to determine on what did you decide when you were on earth? What did you do for the kingdom of God? It's not based on works. It's based on God's promise to himself that if you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that he's the Son, the Father, that you'll enter into the kingdom of God. God is faithful, God is true, and God is just, my friends, but we need to be very careful of what you're listening to. Another thing that people were preaching on that I heard that kind of disturbed me was there was another pastor preaching that you could lose your salvation. You know, there's two types of people. Ones that believe that you once you're saved, you're always saved. And the other ones believe that you can lose your salvation. Let me repeat that. Jesus Christ died on the earth for our sins, for our past, present, and future. He already knew what you were going to do when you were born until the very last breath of life. He knows what career you chose, what spouse you chose, and he knew where you were going to be at the end of time. And for someone to believe that you could lose your salvation, which is biblically incorrect, you got to think to yourself, what sin is it that you commit to lose your salvation? And then once you lose your salvation, how do you get it back? So let me say, for example, that other pastor that was preaching, you could lose your salvation. So then I went up to him and I asked him privately, I said, okay, if that's what you believe, let's go to the Word of God. The Word of God says that when a sinner repents of their sins, that all the angels up in heaven are rejoicing over you. The Bible also states that once you believe in Jesus Christ, that he puts a seal on your forehead. You're forever sealed. The Bible also states that Jesus Christ loses none. That no one can snatch him out of his hand. Not a devil, not a demon, not a woman, not a person, not a baby, not a teenager. So then I asked him, okay, if that's what you believe in, that you can lose your salvation, what sin is it that you commit to lose your salvation? And he couldn't answer the question. And at first he said, all sins. And I said, okay, so how does that person get their salvation back? Jesus can't come back again to die on the cross again because he already died once. He's not going to come every time somebody commits a sin and they lose their salvation and then they try to get it back. And then that pastor began to think, oh my goodness, what am I preaching on? God's gifts are not irrevocable. In John 3:16, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say they'll have temporary life. until you sin, then you lose your salvation. It says eternal salvation. That means forever and ever and ever. And that's a very dangerous thing for those pastors to be preaching, that you can lose your salvation. Now, the reason why they think that is because they're relying it on the scripture that says, fight for your salvation. That's not meaning that you got to fight someone else for your salvation. That means don't give up on the race. Let me make it clear so that you can understand if some of you are confused. Let's say you're in a race and you got two people competing, you and your competitor. You start out at the finish line, at the startup line, and they blow the whistle and you start running the race. Either you're in front or you're behind. It doesn't matter how you start the race, it matters who finishes the race. And the Bible, that's what God wants us to do. He wants to finish our race here on earth. He wants us to be following Him, worshiping Him, loving Him, spreading the gospel, telling people about the good news. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The people send themselves to hell when they reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So I asked that pastor, I said, if that's truly what you believe and that's what you're teaching, that people can lose their salvation, then everybody in the whole world already lost their salvation. Because the Bible says that not one is perfect. Not one is perfect. But the one that who is perfect is Jesus Christ. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, for past, present, and future. And He shed His blood for you and me. Because He knew that we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect until you die, until God says, well done, that good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's when you're going to be perfect. Because then you'll be transformed in the glory of God that He has predestined us to be. So that preacher asked me, well, Kathy, you know, I never thought of it that way. You know, my whole life I was taught that you could lose your salvation. And I said, no, if that's the case, then the Bible needs to be rewritten. God's going to have to go back on His own word. And we already know that God's promises are all yes and amen. And He's a God that cannot lie. And none of His words return back void. So you would have to go back to the scripture, John 3:16, and say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have temporary life. And God's not going to do that. It says eternal life. Eternal life is for a reason. Then where it says that God gives us His seal, when we accept Him into our hearts, God would have to take away that seal. And that's called taking back a gift. God's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take back a gift. Once you get free salvation, you can't turn that gift back. Let me reiterate. If you go to Walmart and you buy a gift and it has a receipt, the only way to get that money back or to exchange that gift is to show them the receipt. But what do you do? What do you do when you get a gift called eternal salvation and it's free? You can't return that gift. How are you going to return that gift if you don't have a receipt? The receipt was the blood of Jesus Christ, where He died on the cross for you and me, where they put the nails through His feet and through His hands. That's the receipt. Can't return a free gift. So thank you, my friends, for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. I know this episode may be a little bit long or a little bit short for you guys, and I know it's been a while, but I just had that on my heart. Keep in mind that we're all sinners. Nobody's perfect, that we're going to go through trials and tribulation. But the good news is that if you're still alive today, God has a plan for you. And He has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is, while we're still on earth, is to get saved, accept Jesus Christ into your heart, turn away from your sins, get filled with the Holy Spirit, get baptized, and let everyone know about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's all that's going to matter. Your title ain't going to matter. How much money you made ain't going to matter. How much money you have in the bank what kind of house you have or what kind of car you drive. What's going to matter when you see die and see God face to face, He's going to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? And I pray that you know the answer. Your answer should be because you're my Lord and Savior. And I accepted you into my heart. And I'm followed after you. And I believe in you. And I told Jesus. I told other people about Jesus. That should be your answer. Because if you're answering, you should let me into heaven because I was a good person. I was a good spouse. I was a good mom, good dad, good son, good daughter. I did good in school. I got good grades. I got a bachelor's degree. I got a master's degree. I live in a fancy mansion. I drive a fancy car. God's not going to let you in. Those things don't impress God. God owns everything already in the earth. Nothing that you have is truly yours. It all belongs to God. And everything that you have was given to you by God. You may not see it that way. You may say, I worked hard for this. No, God allowed you to have that. Remember, my friends, God gives and He takes away. And He gave us the most precious gift of all was eternal salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't take that for granted. But so many are out there preaching false doctrine and preaching what tickles the ears of the people instead of preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to share that with you today. Some of you may be saying, well, Kathy, I don't believe that. My pastor's been in ministry 20 years, and that's not what I was taught. That's not what I believe. Well, line it up to the Word of God. Go to the Scriptures and look to where it says eternal salvation. It doesn't say temporary salvation. If that was the case, God would have never sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, for past, present, and future. Now, that doesn't give you a license to sin just because you're saved and you're a Christian and you're Holy Ghost Spirit filled. Doesn't mean that you could go out and still partying, go out getting drunk, go out and getting high, because then there's going to be consequences to that sin. So many people think, well, Kathy, I'm a good person. I did good works, and they're being taught by their religion that if they did good works, that's how they're going to get into heaven. God's not going to care about your works. He's looking at your heart. There's no amount of works on earth that you can do that will allow you to get into the heaven. The only way to get into heaven is saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I open wide the door of my heart and I ask you to be Lord of my life. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on the demon forces. And I believe your word in John 3:16, that if I believe in you, that I shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe you wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a big book of heaven, that anybody's name ever accepted Jesus Christ will be in their heart. And I believe that if you were to die in a tragic car accident today, that you would hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if you never ask God into your heart and you never repented of your sins, you're going to hear, depart from me, you wicked sinner. I never knew you. God is a God that will not be mocked. In Brazil, I was seeing a video many years back of when the people were celebrating. They were actually celebrating on the streets, the devil and the demons, and worshiping Satan. And they were mocking Jesus Christ. There was actors pretending to be the devil with forks in their hand and spears in their hand, and they were pushing Jesus Christ down to the ground or in a play, per se. God's not going to be mocked. Guess what happened? The very next day, there was a huge flood and all those people died. All those people died. And I bet none of them went to heaven. They probably all went to hell. Because they were worshiping what? The devil. You can't worship two masters. God makes it very clear. You can't worship God and worship the devil. You either all in it for God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you're not on His team. So Mike, I have one question for you today. What team are you on? Are you on the Lord's team? Or are you on the devil's team? If you're on the Lord's team, you're going to go to heaven. But if you're on the devil's team, you're going to go to hell. spending all eternity separated from God. And then that, I guarantee you, that day that you're in hell, then you'll start thinking back, oh my goodness, I made the worst decision. I made the worst mistake of my life. There's many people wishing that they had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they can't hear it. There's those that hear it and receive it and accept Him, and then there's those that mock Him. So where do you want to spend eternity, heaven or hell? Thank you again for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, as your host. I pray that this encourages you today. Keep in mind, my friends, that tomorrow's not promised. You could be enjoying your life with your family, and tomorrow you could get killed in a tragic car accident. So think of God, love God, and be true. Bye-bye. Hi, friends. Thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, and I'll be your host for today. I apologize for not being able to upload any episodes. I was under the weather with real bad allergies, and I had lost my voice, believe it or not, but I got it back. Praise God. But today, I just want to share with you examples of faith found in the Bible, and what God can do when you step out in faith. So God expects us to live by faith and not by sight, or to walk by faith and not by sight. So Hebrews 11 is an incredible chapter, letting us know what faith is, what faith does, and what faith can do for you. So we just want to give you some examples about faith and what it can teach us. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, I want to read to you, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying us of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks." So you got to remember that Abel's account in Scripture was short, but his testimony lives forever. And in Genesis 4, we see that the sons of Adam and Eve was Cain and Abel, that they brought an offering to God, and God accepted that offering of Abel and rejected Cain's offering. And we got to keep that in mind. What pleases God? A lot of people may ask, Kathy, well, what pleases God? Faith. When we walk by faith and not by sight. You may want an example. And I'll give you a personal experience of my own. Many years ago, I was told by a doctor that I couldn't have kids. And I had believed and prayed, and I was like, well, I believe the Lord told me we were going to have a little girl. And that doctor was like, no, Kathy, you know, I'm telling you what science says. Science says you're not going to be able to have any kids due to the circumstance in your body. And I was like, well, no, I rebuke that report. And rebuke means I don't agree with that report. I turn away from that report, and I'm going to trust God. And I'm so thankful that we did, and I'm so thankful that I did, because God blessed us with a little girl. And within 6 months after she had received her shots and all, I went back to that doctor and said, see what my God can do. Now, I will be honest, I switched doctors when that doctor told me that he didn't believe that I was going to have a little girl. And I told him, yes, I am. Because the Lord told me I'm going to have a little girl. And we had our little girl. I switched doctors. Sometimes you're going to have to switch people. And by people, I mean, if, let's say, for example, you got a bad report that you have cancer. And you believe with all your heart that the Lord told you that He's going to heal you. But there may be somebody within your family or a friend or a co-worker that's giving you a negative report saying, I don't think that's going to come to pass. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God gave you a promise, that He gave you His word, and He spoke to you clear as day and said that you're going to be healed. You don't want that negativity around you. So you rebuke that report and tell that person, no, I don't receive that negative report of cancer, and I believe that God's going to heal me. And God blesses you in that circumstance. Now keep in mind, God isn't going to answer us just because we want Him to answer us. God's going to do whatever he wants because he's God. He has authority over himself. He doesn't have to answer to no one. If he has the right to heal, he has the right not to heal, whatever he chooses to do so. But in this particular instance, God gave me the beautiful blessing of a little girl. And we're so blessed by her. And she's now going to be 9 years old. And I'm so thankful that I listened to God, that we listened and trusted God. And God can do that for you. So keep in mind, my friends, that by faith, faith is what pleases God. Another thing that we can learn in Hebrews is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony and that pleased God. Isn't that awesome to hear the word that pleased God? And what happened to Enoch? He lived 65 years and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was with God. And then God took him. Isn't that beautiful? What about the most famous story of all? Noah. Noah taught us by faith he could save our families. In Hebrews chapter 11, 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So if you don't know the story of Noah, God's basically told Noah, hey, I'm going to send a flood. And I want you to build an ark. I want you to build a big boat. And you're going to put your family in it. And he was, and animals in there. And he was able to spare himself and his family. What about Abraham? Abraham taught us that faith can guide our steps. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and he went out. He what? He obeyed, not knowing where he went, but by faith in the land of promise, in a strange country, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So basically, Abraham stepped out in faith. He followed the direction that he was given. He didn't know the destination, but he received the promise. Isn't that beautiful? And sometimes we just got to step out in faith. You know, God may call you to do something, and you're so afraid and so scared, and you're wondering how you're going to do it. And that's how you know that God has that dream, that destiny, that purpose, that calling for your life. Because you know that you're not going to be able to do that on your own. But we have to trust God. We don't put our trust in man. We don't put our trust in woman. We don't put our trust in our spouses, in our parents, in our children. We put our trust in the one who created us, which is our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. What about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac shall thy seed be called. God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. So basically, God blessed Abraham with a son named Isaac. And then later on, God told Abraham to offer up his only son as a sacrifice. Now, can you imagine that day, Abraham hearing God's voice and telling him, I want you to offer up the son that I just gave you? But Abraham wasn't confused. Remember, confusion doesn't come from the Lord. That comes from the enemy. The enemy is the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Instead, Abraham trusted God. And because he trusted God, his son Isaac was spared and Abraham was blessed. What about Joseph? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So before Joseph died, he reminded the children of Israel that God would deliver them, restoring them to the promised land. He told them to take his bones and to bury them there. So basically, Joseph's entire life was built on faith. The faith that God brought him safely through all his trials and tribulations. And he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. He believed that God would deliver the people. And that teaches us the tremendous faith that Joseph had. So I want to ask you to do, the question is, what are you relying on? Are you relying on man? Are you relying on woman? Are you relying on God's words and his teaching and the Bible, his beautiful love letter to us? There's so many examples of faith in the Bible. But the most one that we always hear is in Hebrews chapter 11. So I want you to read that when you get a chance. And I'm just going to go over this very fast. So if you're listening to it and you want to jot some notes down, just replay the podcast. So I want to ask you, what can their faith teach us? Gideon, the account of Gideon, Judges chapter 6 verse 8. He's introduced as a weak and fearful man hiding, sneaking food to his family during an invasion. But God saw him as a mighty man of valor. And Gideon believed God and delivered Israel in spite of the overwhelming odds. What about Barak? Barak was called up to fight against the king of Canaan, who had 900 chariots of iron and a large army. But by faith, he defeated his foe with only 10,000 soldiers. And you can read about that in Judges chapter 4, verse 5. What about Samson? Samson judged Israel during the time of the Philistine bondage. He was a thorn in the side of the Philistines his entire adult life. And the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, gave him supernatural strength. And that strength was in his hair. But God still used him. He had a lot of flaws. Samson wasn't perfect, but God still used him. But by faith, he was a one-man army, killing thousands of enemies. And you can read his story in Judges chapters 13 and 16. The list goes on. David, Samuel, the prophets. And the last verse is in Hebrews chapter 11. When you get a chance, I want you to just read Hebrews chapter 11 and just meditate on it. And you'll begin to see all the examples of faith that shows us what faith can accomplish. So God gives us so many examples of faith in the Bible. So if you're struggling out there and you're believing a negative report, but you don't want to be negative all the time and you want to start trusting God, God has so many examples of faith. Just start reading Hebrews chapter 11 so that your spirit can be stirred up in encouragement. And you can start asking yourself, who am I putting my faith in? Who am I putting my trust in? Am I putting it in man? Am I putting it in child? Am I putting it in my spouse? No, you put it in God. Because God is a God of second, third, fourth chances. He's a God of the impossible. He's a God that's a forgiving God, a loving God, and a just God. And he can do all kinds of things. I hope this encouraged you today. I'm sorry that the podcast is a little bit short. Once again, I had lost my voice, but praise God, I got it back. I pray for each and every one of you that you guys are being blessed and having a great day. And thank you for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. Bye-bye.